Hey, this is Kira Miller, and you are listening to the very first episode of the What's Your Life Journey podcast. So thank you again for listening. This is our very first guest, Courtney Smallbone.
Yes, and happy to be here.
You are the mother of three young boys.
I am.
And the wife of Luke Smallbone from the band For King and Country. So tell us kind of about that and what that has looked like in your life.
You know, it's been a wild ride. We met before they were For King and Country, so they were like Joel and Luke at the time and didn't really know what kind of music they were forming. And like their first tour, I was like in a van, not down by the river, but we were in a van and van and trailering it everywhere. There was like a hole in the van. I was really pregnant with my first child, Jude. It was a wild ride, and I'm thankful that we got to form it together. A lot has changed and evolved over time. But yeah, we're doing live together, and it's crazy.
And so today, you've really had, well, in your life, you've really had kind of this spirit of fear that has been very overwhelming for you. And very recently, within the last few months, the fear died for you. And you really had a day where the fear literally died for you. So can you tell us how the fear died? Well, where the fear began, kind of take us from the journey of day one, where that fear began. And then go specifically into, like, now how the fear has died.
Yeah, it feels like a 10-year journey that really began before I even knew Luke. I was 17 years old and really in just a crisis of faith. I felt like I had always had this desire and love for Jesus, but went through a time where I really needed to know him. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what, Lord, like, if you're real, give me yourself. Like, show me who you are. I need an everyday life, Jesus. And until then, I'm just done. Like, I just kind of peaced out on my faith. Literally, like, self-proclaimed, just like, no, I don't believe in it, you know, just whatever. And literally, in that time, I had a rare disease. So I couldn't wake up the next day, like, just no feeling in my body. So I was 18 when that happened. I was diagnosed with a rare disease called Lemierre syndrome. It's very rare, and through that time, I almost died once, and the first time, once to it's three crazy. Times. I know, I'm like, that time, you know when people tell you, like, your life flashes before your eyes?
Yeah.
So that's real. So the first time that happened, at the time, I was a self-proclaimed atheist, right? My dad was a pastor. I grew up in this loving family. It just was this struggle of faith that I feel a lot of young people go through, especially around 18 and on. Mm-hmm. So literally, I was on the bathroom floor. My parents were around me, and I felt my body shutting down. My legs literally stopped working. I couldn't see. And I remember the verse that all call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Mm-hmm. And that moment, I called out to Jesus. And literally, at that time, as my body was shutting down, I saw my life flash before my eyes. I saw just the real Jesus and who he is and who he wants to be in our life and call out to him. And lo and behold, my body literally started coming back to life. Of course, the journey continued because I had to relearn to walk, literally just rebuild my whole body, my whole immune system, everything. But from that moment on, I really had a personal relationship with Jesus that impacted everything about my life. So, which also entered in fear, because when you go through any kind of trauma is anything that's too much too soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that could be really anything that's too much too soon.
Yeah.
But when you have a rare disease, that's definitely too much too soon.
So what did that fear kind of look like for you growing up and then up into this point? Like, what did it really look like for you?
You know, I feel like before this, I didn't have any concept of a lot of fear. But then once you know something horrible and bad and rare can happen, it kind of triggers you into this thing where, what if it happens again?
Yeah.
You know,
and any
sickness at that time really kind of triggered me into that point. I didn't really talk about it. I had a lot of shame about it. I didn't really want anyone to know, like, I was struggling and human. So I kind of shoved that down for many years. I would have anxiety and panic attacks. I had post-traumatic stress, and I didn't really realize it. But again, a lot of people don't like to talk about that, especially sometimes in a church environment or in a faith environment, because it's not really something that I mean, I believe the Lord can heal, but sometimes it's a process, and most likely it's a process. Yes. So I wasn't willing to enter the process yet, which kind of led me into, you know, Luke and I met, we fell in love, and we had our first baby, Jude, and a little bit, like, I think Jude was 6 months old when Luke became really ill with his autoimmune disease, which literally anything that was, like, hidden deep, I feel like, came forth.
All came forth, yeah.
It was too much. I was literally having about 8 panic attacks a day, and he was, he had really severe colitis, and he was 6'5", like 120 pounds, and he was bedridden for about 3 months. Mm. Came off the road, and I just was taking care of him. Like, literally, my life became just keeping him going, you know? Like, you know, giving him his medicine, doing everything, taking him to doctor's appointments. Which, at the time, you know, you're pouring in, you're serving this person, but I was also dealing with a lot of my old fear and anxiety that was being triggered in.
Do you feel like you were able to kind of keep, like, a hold of yourself, or not really? Like, you kind of were for the moment, but then it all came crashing down, like, once he was better?
Yes. Yeah. It's funny when you your body knows it can let down. So, literally, I was just, like, his nurse on call 24/7, and we had our little baby Jude, and once he could go back out on the road with For King and Country and I knew he was okay, it's like I bottomed off. I really hit a wall. I at that time, I was pregnant with my second child, Phoenix.
Jeez.
So at that time, I was just stuffing things. Mm-hmm. That's all I knew to do. Growing up, I think I just stuffed things. I didn't want to be vulnerable. You know, people don't want to talk about all that stuff. You know, if you're having anxiety and fear, or if you have an anxiety disorder or crazy fear that's literally like bondage. So I was pregnant with Phoenix, and I was on Zofran because I had really bad morning sickness. And Zofran can sometimes mess with your serotonin levels. And what I found was if I had anxiety, I could take it, and it could level me out. So what happened was my body became dependent on Zofran, and I was taking high doses. And at first it started probably like, I need this, I'm taking it. And then it ended up being like, I need this to survive, to live.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 7 months pregnant, right? I'm like, what's up, Kira? I was 7 months pregnant when literally I was confronted with that these pills had controlled my life, that I couldn't get off these pills. Literally so pregnant, and every time I tried to stop, it was like anyone who's had any kind of addiction, it's like your heart's going crazy. You feel like you're going
to
die.
Did you feel kind of in your life that you really felt the need to control everything?
Because
obviously that's so common for many people.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, I mean, just throughout your entire life that you've tried to control everything?
Yeah, I think I saw a root of control and fear in my life. And I think just also that I couldn't be vulnerable and show that I had any problems. And that just kind of all came out.
And where do you feel like that came from in your life?
You know, I really feel like the Lord made me very aware of everyone around me. And I feel the need to take care of other people. And so I need to be okay to pour out to other people, which it's not very healthy. It's like I need to be fully myself, fully loved, fully in my identity to be able to love other people.
Right.
But I was kind of doing everything out here instead of it coming from a core, a strong core. And so I really believe through that time when I was addicted to pills, it was very humbling because at that time Luke had to come off the road. And I was checked into a mental facility, an outpatient facility, for a few weeks. And it just was, I mean, when you say that to some people, they're like, wow.
I know, right? Yeah.
And literally, that's
what
it felt
girl.
Like. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And let me tell you, a lot of the people I met there were believers that were ashamed that they were there. And everything within me just wanted to wash the shame off. Like, be who you fully are in all of your mess and all of your process. Like, everyone's in a process. They just don't want to show anyone.
Yep.
So I felt really called out to be just here's my process, yep. like we're mm-hmm. on the process. So, you know, I was in the facility and we really got to a lot of the roots of my anxiety. It's so awesome because everything that came to the top. So lots of things that are revealed then can be healed.
Yeah.
So it's like it was this 100%. Season yeah. of it's not just an addiction problem. It's not just an anxiety fear problem. Like just go to the root and, mm-hmm. and let the Lord heal it.
Yep.
Even if it's messy mm-hmm. in front of everyone. I felt like just splatter of paint.
Is that
life.
The first time you really felt like you could talk to people so honestly?
Yeah.
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 I love that.
I think one of my favorite moments was I was, you know, you have to go around this circle and like, hi, my name's Courtney and I'm yep. here for whatever. And I think they thought I was super hardcore because I was 7 months pregnant. Like, what is she in here for? Right. Yeah. And I'm just like, I just was so shut down.
Mm.
I was so shut down. I would literally would sit there quiet because A, it would send me into a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And also I just was so uncomfortable with where I was. I was ashamed that I was there.
Yeah.
And what is so awesome is I had these women come around me and literally they were like, can we hug you? And I'm like, okay. Mm. You know, just letting people into that place.
Yep.
And so where you don't think you're going to find Jesus, he's most likely there.
Absolutely.
You know, like
in
right
the wilderness.
Yeah. He was literally in this place. It felt really freeing because not only was I free of the addiction, but I was free from the root of it, which is just a root of fear
mm-hmm.
and of shame. Because shame really thrives in quietness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. and darkness.
And you can have power over it when yes. you're able to talk. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So literally, Luke's experience with colitis and taking care of him, I'm now thankful for because it really brought everything back
yep.
to be healed. Instead of just storing it away, surviving in your life when you can have a better life
yeah.
if you go through the process.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Process is hard.
Yeah.
But it's good.
But it's where you learn to grow mm-hmm. and it's where you learn to kind of be yourself and
yes.
to own who you
yes.
are. Yeah. Yes. And so now that you are out of kind of that phase mm-hmm. of fear in your life, there was more. To come before the day fear died.
But yet,
yeah,
there's more.
So go on to that.
Something I have learned in my life, I started studying Jesus about 2.5 years ago in the book of Matthew, the Passion Translation. It's so good. It's like fudge. and studying who he is, mm-hmm. who he says that we are, and the power we have in him. So I think something I didn't have in my life was Jesus was a real person. And how does his death and resurrection affect me?
Mm-hmm.
And did I believe that when he said, hey, it's better for me to go because the Holy Spirit's going to come and help you?
Yep.
And don't do anything until the power of the Holy Spirit
right.
comes, right? So
stay there.
Yes,
yeah,
stay
yeah.
there and just, you know.
Let it
because
happen.
With him, he said that we can do what he did and even greater things. So did I believe that? And so I was walking through this process in my life of a lot of things healed, you know, post-traumatic stress, anxiety disorders. I had tons of anxiety attacks. Those were healed. Addiction, all mm-hmm. these things. And then I got into this relationship with Jesus just to know him better
mm-hmm.
and receive the Holy Spirit. And literally, so I had my third boy, Leo, in July. He's amazing.
So cute.
He's so cute. He's so chunky.
Like the chunkiest but cutest baby.
He's amazing. And so in this process, you know, I, you know, while pregnant with him, you know, the Lord was doing all these new things. But on September 15th, which I felt like this is my 10-year mm-hmm. anniversary of having Lemierre syndrome, the rare disease.
Mm.
And I call it my bonus life. Like, I love my bonus life. I got another chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was my 10-year anniversary. I woke up that morning and I was like, Lord, I know this is my 10-year anniversary. Like, I'm prepared for whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to share with. Like, I'm open,
yep.
right? I'm open, whatever mm-hmm. it is. And I got an email that morning from the midwives. And while I was growing Leo, I was actually growing a 2-pound cyst that they didn't know what it was
pregnant.
While I was pregnant.
Wow.
Attached to my ovary. It gave me some problems when I flew over to Israel. I remember telling you that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, hey, this is suspicious, and
yep.
it keeps growing. Because they thought, oh, once you have the baby, it'll deflate. And I'm like, cool. had the baby, did not deflate. So like, hey, so that morning, 10-year anniversary, mm-hmm. they're like, hey, we really need to get that removed. And I'm like, cool. Yeah. This is not what I expected.
Right.
Because also,
what a way to celebrate.
Yay, yeah. Surgery with an 8-week-old.
Right.
Traveling husband.
Yeah, so how does that work?
Exactly. Yeah. So woke up discouraged, okay? Mm. So Luke was home that weekend, which he's really not home weekends, traveling musicians. And he was mowing the lawn. I had put all the boys down for a nap, which is a miracle in and of itself if mm-hmm. you or any moms listening. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and read for a little bit. Had the monitor on. And they were all napping. And I had this check in my spirit to go check on Leo. And it was like the Lord was preparing me, just preparing me to go in. Almost like he was saying, hey, don't believe what you're going to see with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he made a deposit 10 years ago when I almost died to believe him, not always to believe your natural circumstance. Yeah. That's something he's doing in my life. And I'm walking it out. And so I go in. And I find him where I left him to sleep, mm-hmm. and he was dead. Mm. So I found him. He was face down, blood all over his face, cold and gray. And I picked him up, and it really was an out-of-body experience because all trauma really is.
Mm-hmm.
But I literally held him, and I ran outside to Luke. He was on the mower, and I was screaming. I mean, just I don't even know what sounds were coming mm-hmm. out of me. And I was holding him, and I just started saying, no, no, no. I'm not burying my child. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not going to do it. And I ran out, and Luke's on the mower. He's like, oh, hey. And then he saw me, and he ran out. And he's like, what? I'm like, he's dead. I found him. He's not breathing. So he goes to call 911. I lay Leo on the ground, and I start trying to do CPR. I don't know CPR. I just was whatever, you know, in the moment. And he's on the phone, and he's literally looking at me like, Courtney, he's gone. Just stop. Like, just give. I'm like, I am not giving up.
Did you feel in that moment him ever, or that voice kind of ever like trying to overpower the voice of, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. Do you feel like the spirit of fear like ever did overpower the spirit of faith or no?
I felt immense faith, probably the most faith I've ever felt in my life. I think it's like nothing could shake it. For the enemy to try to take me out.
Yeah.
It's another thing to try to take my husband out. Mm. But if you touch my child, I literally was pissed. I was pissed. I would call it a holy pissment. I don't even know if that's a word, but I was holy.
It is now.
Holily pissed. And I on my anniversary, so I knew he was trying to rob. The enemy wants to rob, steal, destroy. He wants to kill you. Yep. That's why the spirit of fear, like, don't mess with it,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like, no.
Yep.
So when I grabbed him, I felt immense faith. Mm. When he was on the ground, I had laid him down as an offering to the Lord. I literally was like, I've done all that I can do, so you're going to have to do this. I literally was like, you're going to have to do this.
Wow.
Literally, you know, because newborns have beautiful sparkling eyes when they're alive. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
His eyes were open, but they were gray, and they were fogged. He was dead, and his chest was sunken in. And I was laying hands on him. I was laying hands on him and praying. I was praying in the spirit. Luke was like, "What the heck is going on over there?" But
yeah,
we were going for it. And I was like, "Jesus died for this. Jesus said that we can raise the dead,
mm-hmm.
heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Do we believe that?" Literally laid hands on him, and I got to see him come back to life. Like his chest expanded. The blur in his eyes, I will never forget. And they were sparkly. And he started crying. He went,
no way.
And I was like, yes. I was like, keep going. And Luke was on the phone like, okay, he's alive. Then the ambulance literally came in. I'm just looking at him going, the Lord did this. Mm-hmm. As much as a lot of people want to share the story, like, oh, the Lord told Courtney how to do CPR. No, it was when my hands were off and I was surrendering my child.
Yeah.
Like, if you have to do this, I surrender, you do it. The ambulance came and they're like, what happened? I'm like, he was just raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So they're you know, we jump in the ambulance because I'm like, what in the world's going on with my baby? Then you're going down the process of very logical of, okay, what happened? Okay, what's going on?
Right.
So we're in the ambulance and I'm just like.
And with that, there's kind of no logic.
There's no logic. You're just like, so explaining it to the doctors, you know, we went first to one hospital and they sent us to Vanderbilt and they're amazing. Mm-hmm. And we got there and they wanted a test for, you know, there was blood in his stool. They thought colitis. I'm like, no, he swallowed blood. And when he was reborn, you know, he wet his pants. So I thought I did too.
Yeah,
just
right.
Saying. literally when we got to Vanderbilt, they're doing all these tests. And then this doctor comes to me and said, did you know his skull is fused shut? His skull is fused shut. So babies have soft spots, right? Mm-hmm. For their brain to grow. And they're like, he's going to have reconstructive skull surgery. I'm like, wow, what else, right? Like, you're just like, just overwhelmed, yes. Like overwhelmed with the miracle. But then all this other stuff is still happening.
Yeah,
all the humanity, all of it just.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, what do we do? You know, they checked him. They checked everything. They really couldn't say. They would call it near SIDS. So SIDS is what they just say. It just happened, right? One of the awesome doctors was like, hey, I really think what happened is he rolled and his brain was going like a football, right? And it's heavy. And he's like, I really just think he got stuck and he suffocated, which as a mom just breaks your heart. Mm-hmm. But she said, I can't say that because medical rules of like craniosynostosis can't cause SIDS. And I'm like,
gotcha.
Whatever. So he had craniosynostosis is what they – is the fusion of the skull. And so in that time, I looked at Luke. He finally met me at the hospital. I had to go by myself because we have two older boys. And my sister-in-law came to watch them. And I looked at Luke and I said, the enemy wanted to kill me. He wanted to kill you. He really wanted to kill my son. But what he killed was my fear. Like, now it's on.
Yep.
Like, I literally was like, now anything that kept me from speaking out, anything that, any of that stuff, it's gone. Like, it's on. Like, beautiful revenge on the enemy.
Yep.
It's just like icing on the cake when you're walking with Jesus. But I really believe Revelations 12:11, you will overcome him, which could be the enemy, which could be fear, which could be anxiety, by the blood of the Lamb. And the word, the bold word of your testimony. And that's been something in my life that I'm like, ways to combat fear, anxiety in your life is the finished work of Jesus. It's the blood that is living. It's in you. It's active. And the bold word of your testimony. And I think a lot of people, that's why I love what you're doing, sharing stories, sharing your story boldly is something that is a tool. It's a combative tool.
Yep.
And in that moment in the hospital, I just made like an agreement with myself. I was like, I will share my story. All of it.
Yep.
All of the good, bad, ugly, confusing, miraculous, broken.
Yep.
I will share all of it. And I love what you're doing because I believe that stories are everything. Testimony is everything.
Yes. Yeah. When you were in the hospital and people heard about the miracle, kind of saw the miracle right after it happened, how did they react?
I think a lot of people cried. Cried not only for that it happened, like it's an overwhelming thing, but also cried, which was really kind, cried for me because they're like, you know, other moms, they're like, you held him dead. Your heart was broken before it was made whole, which really, I love my beautiful friends in my life, but I love that Jesus is in the process, Jesus. Like, I love the story of Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha, his sisters, and when Lazarus died, they were crying, and instead of Jesus saying, stop crying, I'm about to do this miracle and raise Lazarus to life, like, calm down. Instead, he wept. Instead, he cried. And it's like Jesus was almost showing to me in this, that he is in the middle. Like, he's not just before the miracle right. and after the miracle. He meets you in the middle, in the brokenness, before the miracle, even if he knows obviously what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's in the process, in that weird zone of healing.
Yep.
And that brought me a lot of comfort. So mm-hmm. like during that time, I embraced that Jesus of, I'm so excited you did this miracle, but I'm also so broken that I'm walking this,
mm-hmm.
that I held him dead, that I, you know, I'm processing this, that he's going to have this beautiful, sweet baby has to undergo this huge surgery.
Right.
And that's okay. Like he, instead of thinking he's one or the other before the miracle, after, the, you know, but he's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that really came to life for Luke and I during mm-hmm. that time when we would cry just because.
And you let like, yourself cry. Just,
you have to let yourself
yep.
be in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just have to embrace,
yeah,
engage absolutely. The process. That's where all the good stuff is. Now I feel like I'm like a pro at the process.
You can't get to the other side without going through.
Yes.
There's no way to jump over. You can't do that. No. You have to go through.
You have to walk through.
Because eventually you're going to go through it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And it creates a beautiful aroma in your life.
Mm-hmm.
It creates joy. Yep. It creates a lot of fruit of the Spirit. But also it creates, I believe, process creates oil. And oil is made for many. So when you tell your testimony, a lot of processes are a lot of pressure, a lot of pressuring, a lot of a lot of brokenness, all those things. And it can create, just like olive oil is created by pressure, by, mm-hmm. you know, or a fermentation process. It's like if we as believers, as people, just embrace a process, man, how good it is
mm-hmm.
for not only your life, but the people around you. It's like, it honestly makes the process a lot more fun if you're like, oil, maybe, maybe.
Do you feel yourself now in the process of things really being more joyful? Or is it still one of those things where once you look back on it, you can really see and appreciate what's happening? Or are you kind of in the middle of things and you really feel the joy now?
You know, I feel like a month ago, my joy returned. So I actually went out on a winter day, and my oldest son, Jude, he's 5. I had these wildflower packets, and I was like, Jude, get your coat on. We're going to go plant some wildflowers. He's like, okay. And Luke's like, in the winter? I'm like, yes.
Yeah, right?
Wildflowers in the winter, because I hope in the spring I will see them and have joy.
Yeah.
Like, in faith. Because I was broken. Like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh my goodness, he's alive. This is amazing. And yes, mm-hmm. he's alive. This is amazing. But I also, I would see him on his monitor flipped over dead because of the trauma. And I had to go to EMDR therapy. I love therapy in Jesus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
EMDR therapy, heart sync, SOZO, do it all, people. I was in the middle of this process, and I was broken, and I wanted to celebrate, but I also had this place where I was stuck.
Yep.
I was stuck holding him dead. So after that time, it's like, yes, he's alive. It's a miracle, but then there was also this place of brokenness that I felt really alone in. Mm. And that place was, after that trauma, is seeing the monitor and seeing him flipped over dead. And having to literally, I remember on drives, I'd be like, Luke, is he breathing? Is he breathing? That's the real reality. Mm-hmm. It was, I couldn't sleep. Yeah. I literally, all my nervous system was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I would either be watching him sleep or nursing him. And I just would watch him sleep, A, because he's a miracle and a beautiful baby. But also because I was robbed of rest. I was really robbed of rest at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say where I am now is I can sleep.
Yeah, amazing.
When I look at the monitor, I look at it in joy that he is resting, that his surgery is done.
Mm-hmm.
He has a beautiful round head.
Yep.
He is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
I rejoice. I rejoice in him every day. There's not a day that I don't look at him and go, oh, I'm so glad you're alive, which is just a new kind of outlook on motherhood.
And I could see that, like, when I was with him a month ago,
mm-hmm.
just every time you see him, you're like, you are a miracle child, and, like, your story is already incredible, and you're how many months old now?
He's 9 months old
now. Yeah, there you go. Like, it's insane. Just to know that, to look at him and be like, that is true joy right there.
Yes.
Because he's a miracle.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I would say the process I'm in now, I'm still in EMDR therapy. I think I'll always be in therapy. I think there's always.
What is EMDR?
EMDR therapy is just a trauma therapy, which again, too much too soon. That could be anything. You can reprocess. Your brain can make new pathways, which is kind of life-changing.
Yeah.
Your brain can change. And so I think I'll always be in therapy because there's always something that you can.
Right.
I don't know. I just love that.
It's improving.
Let's get into the real deal and be the best Courtney I can be on this world. So in this process, I can rest. He can rest. There's joy. There's still sometimes I have moments where I still cry just from the brokenness of it happening. Or I feel like now I'm actually processing when I was in the hospital with him and he did his surgery. I was like so like non-emotional in the hospital. But sometimes those things catch up with you. So I'm letting it catch up with me now.
Right.
I'm letting that come and flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun, but it's necessary.
It is, yeah.
So I would say I'm still healing. I'm still in the process, so welcome.
So, and like, what other areas of your life right now would you say that there is still that spirit of anxiety and fear?
So, I feel like the spirit of fear, it used to control my life years ago. It was much of a bondage, which a spirit you can send away. So I felt like once I sent that, you know, spirit away, it really left.
Yes.
It was very much a season of bondage of
but you feel free every day now.
Yes, I feel free every day, but a lot of it's in your mind. It is if you hear a lie, just grab it and throw it out. You know what I'm saying?
So
don't
true,
agree
yeah.
with it.
Right.
Instead of, you know, sometimes it's like, what if I hear, well, this something, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's the enemy, okay? Psh, like you, this is your territory.
Yeah. And so you grab it, but you don't let it sit.
Yeah. Don't agree with it.
Gotcha.
I don't agree with the spirit of fear anymore. That's the difference. And you can also, in your anxiety and fear, because that's just human. I feel like the ways I combat that in every day, I think it's joy and celebration. Joy is not a passive thing. Joy is a very assertive thing of choosing joy, which the enemy hates, and it's great. You can just be like,
too bad.
Yeah. Worship. Me and my babies, they know I love to, you know how we are at worship,
right? Y'all dance. Yeah, right?
Just sometimes when you're fearful and anxious, dance.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It confuses the enemy.
So true.
And it's like, I don't want to mess with you. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I feel like joy, celebration, worship is combative. Taking your thoughts captive for real, not agreeing with all of that. Prayer. Prayer is huge in our life. It's effective. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, you know? Like, it's real. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for people. Pray for yourself, pray for your kids, pray for your friends, like engage in that. So I feel like right now in my life, I don't agree with the spirit of fear and anxiety. And that's how I kind of, when I feel it come on, remember the truth and operate in the truth and not agreeing with the liar.
Mm-hmm. So when you were younger and stuff, when you really had all of this fear inside of you, do you feel like you treated people differently from what you treat them now?
Yes.
Really?
I think when you're full of anxiety and fear, it's very self-centered world because you're afraid.
Yep.
You're anxious, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you can throw that off, I feel like I'm working out of my core. I think we talked about this the other night where you if your inner life, if it's, you know, going out like this, real
produce.
Healthy,
instead
of working from the outside in. So I feel, I feel like I can do that more, more freely aware of other people in their struggle because I've walked through all kinds of struggle. I enjoy that. I enjoy entering in hard and in the middle and in the process. I'm like, that's my jam.
Right.
Like, I'm in.
Yeah.
We're friends.
So how do you think you can help people then in the future with kind of owning their stories, going through the process and owning that, and also to have power over that and, yeah. and talk about it?
Yeah.
And how do you feel like you can help in that process?
I feel like you're setting me up to bat.
I am.
I feel like...
Swing.
I feel like I now have the courage to share my whole story. Mm. It's been 10 years. And it's been like this cultivating, simmering process. And now I feel a freedom to share. And I would love to, right now I'm compiling a book about it, but Amazing. Also I would love to give people tools of what I've learned over the years of how to engage that and how to process that, but also how to combat that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a holistic thing. It's mind, body, spirit.
Yeah.
So some things are, hey, you need to go to therapy, right? Some things are, hey, that's a demon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or some things are like, hey, get some B12 in your system.
Right.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're sad. and so I love that combo. Love that combo. And the Lord can lead you in that combo. He is in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that's where my sweet spot is, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. And I just think the powerful thing about stories, like from my own life, when I was going through a lot of stuff growing up, I still always found hope just by listening to someone who, they might not have even overcome the same thing that I went through, but they went through something either worse or just like something different.
Yes.
And I was like, because they're able to stand up on a stage and tell their story, now I am able to do very well the same. I mean, not to that extent, but I'm still able to tell people in my life my own story and to overcome everything that I have.
Yes.
And there is just so much power in storytelling.
I feel like faith spreads and fear spreads.
Ooh,
so it's like I was putting in our garden the other day and peppermint spreads everywhere. Yeah. You have to contain it.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about it. I'm like, you know, when someone's afraid, it's very likely people around them are afraid.
Mm, yep.
And sometimes when you have a person of faith walk in the room, faith will ignite.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love that. That's what gets, I'm the same. I love listening to people's stories. I love being encouraged and empowered in that way. And it's like both spread. So go for it.
And every time you walk into the room, there is a spirit of faith.
Oh,
I'll tell you, like, yeah, like seriously, you just have this like glow and joy to you. Yeah, right? But you just have this, like, you have a glow to you, and it's like, I have been through a lot, and because I'm able to own what I've been through, I have joy now.
Yes.
And you choose joy every single day, and that is, you can see it.
And I feel like the gift of, what is it, Brené Brown, the gift of vulnerability?
Yes.
Of being the first to go first?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I even told you that the other day.
The arena.
I'm like, I'm okay to go first.
Mm.
If that means other people want to enter in. If not, cool.
Mm-hmm.
You're on your journey, but I'm okay to go first.
Were you more of a follower back in the day and now you're a leader?
Totally.
Mm. Love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think when you don't know who you are, you're going to follow.
Yes.
And I think what's really important is your identity. To be in the Father, in the Father's delight, in Jesus. If you find your identity in Him, everything can kind of shake down around you and you're good. If you put your identity in work or in a relationship, that's going to move.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like once you know you're loved, you know there's grace, you're walking in that, that's where my confidence has come from.
Mm-hmm.
Before really just an intimate relationship with Him, No. No.
Yeah.
And now that I'm a delighted daughter.
Yes.
It's like, well, of course I'll talk. Mm-hmm. Well, of course I'll go whatever. But it's big. If you know you're loved and accepted, that's a big thing.
You can do anything.
You can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess two questions to kind of wrap things up.
Yeah.
So the first is, you know, who are you now? Like, who is Courtney Smallbone? How would you describe who you are?
Who is Courtney Smallbone? I would say loved by Jesus.
Mm.
I would say forever girlfriend of Luke Smallbone. I would say mother of my amazing boys, Jude, Phoenix, and Leo. I put a lot of my love and energy in them in this season. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that I can plant these seeds of kindness and of faith and of love right now in them. And I hope that it just carries through generations. I take that very seriously. Mm-hmm. I would say I'm a worshiper. I feel like all children of God are, but I love it. Mm-hmm. I would say those are probably what really make up the guts of me. Yeah. I would like to say I'm a fear stomper. I would love that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on a revenge kick. Mm. I'm on a revenge kick of the enemy. So
I love that.
Yeah, so I feel like those are probably my top things.
Cool, I like it. And then I guess the other one would just be, like, what's maybe a story that you've heard or a quote that you've heard or a Bible verse that you've heard that has just kind of been your foundation for everything in life, and because of that, you are able to do extraordinary things?
You know, I'll give you what's fresh out of the oven, fresh bread, right?
Okay. Yep.
Yesterday, and I was on the phone with Luke on the way here,
this
and
is
I was
really
like,
fresh.
Listen to this.
Yes.
This is all my fuel and my engine. And that happens a lot. So he's always like, what now? I'm constantly devouring podcasts and books. Like, I love Graham Cook. I love, I love so many. I love Brene Brown. Mm-hmm. I love, there's just so many good ones.
So many.
Yeah, I think I listen to Graham Cook every morning while I'm putting my makeup on. I do. And I'm like, okay, cool. Just get yourself filled.
Positivity, yep.
Yeah, so I would say Revelations 12:1 is my jam right now. Mm. Literally yesterday. It is, you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the bold word of your testimony. And right now that feels like everything to me, because it's like the finished work of Jesus.
Yeah.
It's not me. Mm-hmm. It's not anything good I've done or anything bad I've done. It is that he is the covering over my life. That when God sees me, he sees Jesus. And accepting that, like, I don't have to work and strive. I can accept and live. And I would say the testimony part, I feel now is a time to share. So that's kind of my jam right
now. Yeah, I love it. Well, I think
we've
we're
shared
good to
everything.
Go. Yeah. Do you have anything else to share with whoever's watching or listening? Or I feel like you've given a pretty
I've given
pretty
you all
good,
my
yeah.
guts. I've just given you everything.
Absolutely.
Go. I would say don't be afraid and share your story and share your process and grab onto your healing, because you can be healed.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if people want to find you
on
any social media platform, where do we go?
Go on Instagram. Guys, I just got one 2 days ago.
All right. What is your Instagram handle?
At Courtney Smallbone.
There's an underscore, isn't there?
What is that? Because Courtney Smallbone was taken. Is there really another Courtney Smallbone in this world?
I guess so.
So do the little thing at Courtney Smallbone on Instagram.
Underscore. At Courtney Smallbone underscore. There you go.
I finally caved.
I love that I know it better than you.
I know. You know all that
I know
stuff.
The socials.
You're the pro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm following you.
Thank you so much for listening to the What's Your Life Journey podcast with our very first guest, Courtney Smallbone. And make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube. And finally, you can find exclusive inspirational and uplifting content if you go to our Patreon page, which the link will be in the description. Or you can go to patreon.com/whatsyourlifejourney. Thanks for listening. We all appreciate you joining us.